one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you
without us. Sing it again.
You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down.
My sins were great.
My sins were great. Your love was greater. And what can death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and
grave. Are you glad about that this morning?
The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again.
You have no rival.
You have no rival.
No, no.
Yours is the glory, yours is the name.
that this morning? You believe his name is powerful?
Yes.
Give him a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Can we stand together and sing this last part? Death could not hold you.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the bolts of sin.
Jesus. Jesus is a wonderful place to dwell. I mean, you have to dwell there. You can't just pass through. But if you dwell in him, if you stay in him, if you worship him, if you put him first above all other things, your life will never be the same. It will change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be here today. I have the privilege to give a message to you today. Brother Dale is out on vacation doing his thing with the wildlife, as far as I'm going. But he did call and said to tell you that he misses you, but he's going to stay there and finish what he had to do. I do have an announcement to make. It's a personal announcement. As you know, most of you know that I had cancer treatments for 38 weeks, 38 treatments. I had radiation treatments that it was rough. I have to admit that it destroyed a lot of things. But I'll tell you right now, I did get my results back, and the score is God wins, cancer loses. Amen. Hallelujah. I do appreciate your prayers. I know a lot of you prayed for me every day and still pray for me. I still need it. But I thank you very much for that. I felt every one of them. And I know that God answers prayers. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, today I want to speak to you a little bit about finding God's will. Anybody ever search for God's will? Raise your hand if you search for God's will. You ever sometimes wonder where it's at? I know I have in my life. There's many times I've tried to find God's will, and I just can't seem to find the answer. So today I'm going to talk about someone who found God's will, but in a way I hope we never have to. His name was Saul. Now, if you want to find God's will, there's a couple things you have to do. One is you have to seek His will. How many know seek is a verb? That means it takes action. You can't just sit back and say, okay, God, just give me a message. Let me know what God wants me to do, and I'll just do it. And just sit there. Guess what's going to happen? Nothing. You're going to still be searching that in the next 2 or 3 days, weeks, months. How many knows you've got to have some action? You've got to find His will. Because His will is, He has a will for each one of us. I'm going to get into that a little bit deeper. Now, Saul had an encounter with Jesus that no other man has had. Exactly like he had it. Acts 9:1-6. Let's read that and then we'll... Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that he found any who were there of the way. Whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And something happened. It says, suddenly a light shone around him. Things say a bright light. I mean, it would take a pretty bright light to knock somebody off their horse. And this light was so bright it blinded him. It says, and suddenly a light shone around him from the heaven, and he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So he trembled and astonishedly said, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said to him, arise and go. I'm going to stop right there. Two things, two questions that came out of that. One, Saul said, who are you, Lord? Who are you? Then he put Lord on the backside of it. So I think he knew. He knew what he had been doing, and suddenly he figured out, I think I made a mistake. I think I've gone the wrong way here. And he said, who are you, Lord? So that's a question we have to ask. Who is the Lord to you? Who is this Lord to you? Is he Lord or is he just a name? And I think we have to take a close look at that. We have to make him Lord. He has to be Lord of all, not just Lord of some things. The second question that's implied what Jesus said is Saul probably said to himself, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? So I'm going to ask you that question. You ever ask him that? How many years asked God, what do you want me to do? Well, I have one, two. How many knows we need to be asking him every day? Lord, what do you want me to do? How many know everyone in this place has something that you can do for God? Everyone sitting here right now has a purpose. If you're breathing, raise your hand. Okay, that's you. Because if you're breathing and you're a child of God, God has something for you to do. He has a will that you need to follow. Good news we learned from Saul's experience is that guidance is promised. Now let's think about this. What are some of the things that God, we need to find out about God, what He desires for us? Number one is the will of God. But there's different kinds of God's will. Well, I never thought about this until I got into studying this. The first one is God's sovereign will. How many know He has a sovereign will? What does that mean? God's sovereign will is always going to be done. Because He's God. He's the creator of the universe. He's the creator of all things. So if He wants something done, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be done. He has a sovereign will. He has ways that He wants to do. They're mysterious to us. We don't know about them. We don't know how they work, but He does. He has something that needs to be done, and it will be done. God has something He wants to accomplish, and He has desires, and His sovereign will be going towards that all the time. So we have to be aware of His sovereign will. Number two, God's moral will. How many believes there's morality in this world? I mean, there's a lot of immorality in this world. But how many know the morality is what's right and what's wrong in God's eyes? Not ours. How many know sometimes we get it wrong? We get it wrong. What we think's right is not right. And what we think is not wrong is wrong. So we have to see that. We have to look at that. We have to decide in our heart, are we following the morality of God? And we can do that because, you know, I'm going to tell you, there's some things that are right and some things are not. Love is right in God's eyes. Love is right. Honesty's right. Kindness is right. Those are the right things in God's eyes. Of course, we know lying and murder and pride and all those things, they're wrong in God's eyes. So we have a guide to look at what's right and wrong. God has spoken it many times in His Word. So if we look at those things and we decide what's right and wrong, we need to follow those guidelines. That's guiding our way through life, right? How many know sometimes we question things? No, of course, none of you have ever questioned anything about what God does, right? Yeah. I do all the time. I question and say, God, I don't understand that. Why? And then sometimes I say, that's dumb. I shouldn't ask why. It's His way. But God always will have His moral will. His moral will is the ethical standard we must live by determining what's right and wrong in His eyes. It's pretty simple. And the last one is the hardest one. God's particular will. His will for you and me. How many knows that sometimes is hard for us to figure out? God has a special will for you as He did for Saul. Acts 9, 15, and 16. Look at this. 15 and 16. There you go. But the Lord said to him, go, for He is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, Saul, who was probably the worst person ever that was out there that was totally against God and everything God had to do, suddenly the light came on, literally. And he's going to be out there talking about Jesus Christ and proving to everybody that he's alive, choosing that he came as God's son. But he told him also, you are going to suffer many things. How many know following God's will is not always easy? Amen? Doing what God wants isn't always easy. Standing up for what God wants is not easy. I mean, in your workplace, sometimes it's not easy to stand up for what's right or wrong in God's eyes. But your actions speak to a lot of people. So he has the three different types, the sovereign will, the moral will, and your particular will. There's a lot of myths out there about God's will. A lot of people who say things, and they're really just a myth. Number one is, God will give you a roadmap. You think God will give you a roadmap? Nope. Doesn't work. It's kind of like this. I tried this morning, too, by the way. Took my phone out. Google, tell me what my will is for God. Google didn't speak. Google didn't call. All he came back was 10 ways to find God's will or 19 things you can do to find God, and, you know, all these different things. But Google's not going to tell you how to do them. How many of those you got to find out for yourself? It's nice when you go somewhere. I just went on a trip to South Georgia and picked up my sister-in-law and got Google. It just told us every way to turn, what roads were coming up, when there was a detour ahead. Wouldn't it be nice if life was like that? But it doesn't happen that way. It's called a thing called trust. You walk through life trusting God, walking with Him, getting ready for whatever God has in your way. Because how many times you've been going down this road and you think you're right on God's will, and then suddenly there's a detour? You got to take a hard right and go someplace you didn't really want to go, or something happens in your life and you end up having to do something totally different. The second myth is that God doesn't want you to have fun. You ever heard that one? I know that I know some people right now that they're teaching their family that if it's fun, it ain't from God. And I'm going, I don't know about you, but I have a great time in God. Well, some of you do. I guess some of you don't. But I have fun in God. I have fun serving Him. I have a great time being His child. I have a great time doing what He wants me to do. Amen? And we need to celebrate that. My God's an awesome God. But sometimes we have to understand that He loves us. It's kind of like he's not a cosmic killjoy. He's not going to get out there and just say, oh, you're having fun. Stop that. I think God is in all laughter when it's done the right way. There is sometimes things are a little tough. I wasn't doing a lot of laughing going through these treatments. There was not a lot of joy in that. But how many knows there's joy at the end? Amen. It's a myth that God doesn't want you to have fun. It's kind of like telling your son or your daughter look, I'm gonna teach you how to go through life, but don't let it be fun. How many things you're gonna follow that, huh? They're not gonna follow that too much, are they? I mean, that's because God does tell us that there's things we can't do or shouldn't do. We think it takes all the joy out of it. I used to preach in the prisons a lot. And I would have men or women come up to me and going, and I would say to them, how come you never give your life to God? How come you never asked Jesus Christ? He said, this one guy said, I'll never forget it. He said, well, when I get to enjoying this world, then I'll give my life over to Him. I go, nope, too late. Because you're going to end up not, if what's going to happen, you're going to end up in this life, and then it's too late. I said, why do you think it causes you to be sad to be a follower of God? He says, because all I have to give up. And not a lot of people think that. A lot of people think that they have to give up so much. But how many know what you gain is much more? What you gain by following Jesus Christ is so much more than anything you have to give up. Young people are the hardest in the world to try to get that through their heads. They think they have to live a priest life. When you don't, just have to live a good moral life. Number three myth. God only speaks to the holy. Those that are so holy that they're the only one that God speaks to. Well, in that case, I don't think Saul was too holy, do you? He was persecuting everyone, killing them. God speaks to everyone. Have you ever had God speak to you? Some of you haven't. Some of you have. God will speak to you, but there's things we have to do to get Him to speak, and I'll get to that in just a minute. God is for anyone, no matter what their position in life or the church is. God will speak to all of us. Myth number four. I'm waiting on an experience like Saul's. Well, I hope not. I don't know about you, but I don't want that kind of experience. I don't want it to take that kind of experience. I want to be closer to Him so it doesn't. Sometimes God speaks in earthquakes, yet most of the time He speaks in a still, small voice. Number five, God reveals His will only to the young, old, middle class, only one particular set of people. How many knows we want God's young people to get God's will because they have such a long life ahead of them? But how many knows He speaks to all of us? It doesn't matter what your age is. He has a will for each and every one in this place. You know when His will for you stops? When you step into heaven. That's when you can quit doing for God. I'm retired from my job, but I'm never retired from His job. Well, some of you got that. You are never retired from doing God's will. It doesn't happen. I don't know about you, but I'm going to enjoy His retirement. He's a lot better than what I got here on this earth, let me tell you. His retirement, everything's taken care of. Amen? It doesn't matter how old or how young. There's always something you can do for God. Here's a good question for you. Some people say, well, I just can't. I'm not able. I'm not physically able. I'm not mentally able. I'm not strong enough. I'm not. Anybody in this room can pray? If you can pray, raise your hand. I want to know if you have the ability to pray. Well, guess what? You have something you can do for God. Are you utilizing that? We're emphasizing that at the church right now is prayer. Prayer is important. Prayer is the lifeline to God. But I want you to know, if you haven't been, you can start now. It's never too late to start following God's will. The last one is, God's will is hidden, so we have to find it. That's like telling your son or daughter again, I have all the answers for you. I have everything you need. But I've hid it, and you got to go find it. Now, that wouldn't make sense, would it? Why would you want to do that? Would you want to treat your daughter and your son that way, that they have to go hunt and find and do without God until they find it? No. We want to have that now for them. And it's a matter of one thing. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. And how do you seek? Through prayer. Through prayer. So I encourage you right now to begin to pray, God, show me your will. Show me what you want. I want to do what you want. It doesn't matter what I want. I want to do what you want. But show me. Show me, Lord. And don't do this. Show me, Lord. And when He does show you, He says, Lord, show me something else. Because sometimes we see that and we don't want to do it. Sometimes we think we've missed out because we didn't. God told you to go on a missions field or do something in the past and you didn't do it. You say, well, it's too late. I can't do it now. That's happened. It's gone by. But how many knows His will hasn't stopped? Why should you? Does that mean if you're 85 years old, you should go on a mission trip? I don't know. You'll have to talk to God about that. But there are things that you can do for Him. Every day. All right. We also need the guidance of God through this. We need Him to guide us and show us the way. He's promised it to us. All right. Now, you probably not going to like some of these because I know when I was reading them and I put them down, I didn't like them. Number one, there's four provisions for guidance. Number one, we must be willing to obey Him. Ouch. I know sometimes we don't like obeying. You have any children that don't like to obey? Any grandchildren that don't like to obey? How many knows we're children of God and we do the same thing, right? Have you ever God speak to you and you didn't do it? I'm going to tell you an instance that happened to me. I remember it. I'll never forget it. There was a lady I worked with here when I was living in Asheville the first time I was here. And I'd left that job and went on to something else and Lord spoke to me one day, says, go to her. I just knew it was Him. He said, go to her and share the gospel. I'll say, okay, God, I'll go tomorrow. Well, you know, tomorrow I got busy and I didn't get to it. And I said, okay, God, I'll do it the next day. or it's the weekend, let me go Monday. And I just kept putting it off. I put it off and put it off and put it off. Finally, after a while, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going. I'm going to go this week, and I'm going to go see her, and I'm going to give her the gospel. So I called to find out where she was living exactly. She passed away that week. Now, how do you think I felt? I wanted to crawl under the carpet. But I know that God didn't give up on her. He didn't get me the blessing. Somebody else had a chance to go and see her, but I lost out. I'll never forget that. So guess what? When God speaks anymore, I'm going. I ain't like that feeling. I don't want to have it again. We must obey him. I bet when Saul first saw this light and heard Christ, he took for granted that God had something in mind for him. So something God wanted him to do. I mean, sometimes the Lord's got to get your attention. I know sometimes getting your attention is a whole lot harder than you think. Right? I mean, sometimes you just got to bang a rock up on your head. Wake up! I got something for you to do. But sometimes if you're listening for that small, gentle voice, if you're listening for it, you can hear it. Sometimes you can't hear it because you're talking too much. You're not paying attention. You're not seeking. You're not looking for it. But we got to look for it, right? How often do we have to look for it? Everybody say all the time. All the time. Day in and day out, seeking his will. Seeking what he wants you to do. I know sometimes we just want to give up and lay back and say, I give up. I just can't do it. That's not what God wants. Number two. First of all, we have to be willing to obey him. Number two, we must be humble. Psalms 25:9 says this. Let's bring it up just a second. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. Wow. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. So if you want to be taught God's way, what do you have to be? All together now. Hey, good job. But you do. You have to be humble. You can't be prideful. You can't be puffed up. You can't think, I know it already. You got to be willing to obey him. You got to be humble. Number three. Here's the one that's hard. You got to be open. You got to be open-minded what he wants you to do. You got to be open-minded in his thoughts and where he wants to lead you. It may be, your guy, his guidance needs in everything that we do. If you're buying a car, if you're buying a house, don't we need his guidance to find out if it's the right thing to do? So many times I said, Lord, if this is not your will, shut this door. Close it. And he closed it and I said, well, why'd you do that for? That was a great deal. How many do we have to trust him and be open to what he wants? My son's in the process right now for looking for a house. And I told him, I said, just be patient. Don't try to jump on the very first thing you see. Let God lead you. Just think about it. Seek it. And they found a house and it didn't work out. I said, that's okay. There's a better one around the corner. And that's the way we have to look at things. It's kind of like this. We got to be open and ready for God. If we're a Christian soldier, we got to report to duty. We can't just wait around for the commander to come and grab us and say, come on, I got something for you to do. We should be standing in line waiting. So, what's my order, sir? What do you want me to do? Because I'm in your army. And I want to serve you. We have to yield to the Lord and be going to guide us. Acts 9:8-9. Look at this. Then Saul arose from the ground. When his eyes were open, he saw no one. When they led him by the hand, and they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. He had to be guided. He had to be taken. He had to be led. He yielded and went. He didn't have much choice, did he? He's blind as a bat. Can't see a thing. Somebody's having to take his hand and lead him. I'd hope I never get to that point. That God has to get to me that way. I want to be ready. I want to be open. I want to be ready for what God wants. If you're breathing again, I want to make sure you're still here. Okay, it's getting awful quiet in here. Maybe I'm stepping on a few toes. Maybe I should kick a few shins. That'd make you wake up. You got to yield to the Lord. You got to do what He wants. We have to examine ourselves and see if we are willing to listen, learn, and obey. All right, there's three ways that God will reveal His will to you. One is through miracles. Right? Through miracles, just like He did through Saul. Saul was a miracle. Because Saul was a hardened guy. It took a lot. How many know sometimes it takes a healing? Sometimes God will heal you so that you can get to know you. Sometimes God puts you in a tough place, right? Everybody in a tough place? You ever been in a tough place before? How many knows that God's always, He's already there? God already got to the tough place before you got there. He's there for you. He'll guide you. And He's just like He did Peter. When Peter sank, guess what's going to happen? If you cry out to Him, what's He going to do? He's going to reach down and pull you out. That's good news. That's good news to know that no matter what kind of situation you get in, God's ready to pull you out of it. But you had to cry out to Him, didn't He? He didn't pull in. He didn't stand there and go, well, I'm just going to let you sink. Until he did. And then all of a sudden He cried out and God was there. That tells me that God was already there. He was there waiting on Him. So through miracles. Here's a good one. It's through His Word. How many know this has your will in it? God has already described your will and told you what it is. If you just read it. If you could get a message straight from God. Here's your will. Hand you a piece of paper and say, here's your will. This is what I want you to do. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Here's what I want you to do. It doesn't work that way. But it's in here. We must seek it. We must seek His Word. Look at this. Psalms 119, 105. You've heard this one before. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many wants to know which way to go, what to do? The Word. The Word is the way. The Word is the truth. It's a guideline for us. But we must read it. Study it. Read the Word and talk to God and pray and seek Him. And you'll find it. There's two more. The next one is through His people. God uses people to speak the Word, to speak guidance to you. You don't know how many times, there's few people in this church right now, when I'm at my lowest, when things are kind of tough, they show up out of nowhere, or I get a card out of nowhere that lifts me up. And it's amazing. It's right when I need it the most. Somebody's following God's will and doing what they asked, and it touches my life. There was a time in my life I was ready to give up ministry, period. I was just tired. I just didn't want to do it anymore. And somebody came to me before service in the church that I was at that time and looked me in the eyes and said, don't quit. God's not through. So guess what? I'm going to give you a word right now. Look me right in the eyes. Don't quit. God's not through. Amen. And the last one, through His people, I mean, he knows that pastor can give a word, somebody else can give a word. Listen, And if it agrees with you, it's a great word. If it doesn't agree with your spirit, just throw it away. Because there are some people that say something that it's not God. Through his people. Last one. And this is the most important of all. I'm going to read it. Proverbs 24:6 says this. Victory depends on having many counselors. Victory depends on having many counselors. How many knows you need people in your life? You need people to counsel you in your life, talk to you, give you guidance. Who's the best person to give marriage counseling? Somebody's been married for a long, long time, right? I never forget this. One time in the church, there was a thing I saw. I was preaching at that church at that time, and it said marriage counseling sessions will start, or a class will start, so-and-so, being taught by so-and-so. I happen to know that person, and they've been married 4 times. I said, well, maybe they finally got it right. But I want somebody to teach me that shows me whatever it is I need. I want a person that's been there, done that, and knows how to get over that. Here's the biggest one of all. Through his spirit. Through his spirit. I mean, God's spirit will teach. Now look at this. Acts 9:17. Look at this. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. Laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. From that point on, Saul was fled by the Spirit of God. How many knows it can change your life? Having the Holy Spirit will change everything. The Holy Spirit is what God left here for us. It's a gift. Some of you have never received the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God. Didn't even know it was in there. All you have to do is ask. It's a gift. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything except everything. It does cost you everything. You have to follow Him with a whole heart. But just seek it. Say, God, I want your Spirit. I want your Spirit to dwell in me. I want your Spirit to overcome me. I want your Spirit to guide me in everyday things. And you know, the more you hear God's Word, the more you hear God's Word. The more you hear Him speak to you, the more you hear Him speak to you. What that means is that if you never, you know, why does the sheep come to the shepherd when he calls? Because they know his voice. They know it's safety. They know it's going to take care of them. So you listen for that voice. I saw something on television. It's been a while back, but they were doing this thing showing shepherds and how sheep follow them. And they had 6 different herds all scattered in. Then they got them all in one big pen, and they mixed them all up. And the shepherds went to 6 different places and began to call to them. And those sheep just separated out and went right to them, to each one. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Hear his voice. Hear what he says. Follow him. Sometimes we listen to the wrong voice. Sometimes we listen to somebody we shouldn't be listening to. But God's Spirit will never lead us wrong. When you know His voice, He will lead us. Soon after that, he began to preach that Jesus was Christ and the Messiah and was sent from God. He was willing to obey the Lord because he knew God's will for his life right then. God will teach you everything. God will show you everything. His way is the right way. But we have to seek it. We seek it in prayer. We seek it in His Word. And we seek it in others. Find some confidence in what God wants to do for you. And that's the way to do it. If you're humble, if you're teachable, if you're open, and you yield to God, He will guide you. I'm going to do that again. Ready? If you're humble, here's the hard one, teachable, open, and yielding to God, yield to Him, He will guide you too. Spend time in His Word. Seek wise counseling. Listen for the Spirit to talk to you. Seek Him. It's an action. God has a plan for your life, and He wants you to know what that plan is. I believe right now God's trying to speak to someone. Maybe a lot more than one. How many of you seek God's will right now? Are you seeking His will? Then I want you to listen for His voice. Listen to what He wants in your life and be ready to act upon that. When God speaks, then listen and act upon it. I feel in my heart there's some people here that need some prayer this morning. Physical bodies, mental stress. There's different things in your life right now, and you need to feel God's presence this morning. If that's you, raise your hand real quick. Then come up. I want to pray for you right now. Step out of your seat and walk up here. I'm going to ask our prayer counselors to come on down. Get in behind those that are coming. If you just need Him this morning, if there's something going on in your life, you just need that. Maybe you need that word to God to speak to you about something. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you need to hear from Him. If you raise your hand, come on down. I don't bite. God might speak to you. Matter of fact, I believe He will. You know, sometimes we don't get to hear from God because we won't act. We won't move when God's telling us to move. We don't want anybody else to know.